why I stopped there when we were praising for a minute was because I started seeing something about, the blessing of God. And it's so often, we think about, Malachi, the Lord was showing me this. If you saw me during praise and worship, as I was sitting there, I wasn't, just finishing my game from earlier or anything like that. I was actually writing down some things, and but the Lord showed me something as my wife was reading Malachi that, the Bible talks about God's provision and stuff like that, which is a real thing. But notice what he says. He says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. And then he gives a reason that there may be some, basically provision in my home. Amen. And what that's showing us is that, and of course, we know that about Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But it also says something at the end that's very interesting. It says, men shall pour into your bosom. And so we understand that the principle of God is that God does bless men, but what he does, mankind is what I'm saying, not just men, but he blesses mankind to do the work of the Lord, amen? And so when it's up to us to bring that provision, and so often we're looking for the provision of God, but it's in the hands of a man. It's in the hands of a woman. It's in the hands of somebody here on earth, because God doesn't just, when it says he opens up the windows, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden the clouds are going to part and it's going to pour out. But what God started dealing with me with as we were getting up here, as I was getting up here when we were just worshiping the Lord, and that I told you to keep praising, it was because there was something there and I had to get the rest of it, amen? And I couldn't do that as I was speaking, so I needed you to do it. But this is what came to me. God's plan to better you isn't just so you can ask for what you want, but so you can bless his kingdom. And so we have to understand that God wants us taken care of, and he will take care of us. And so we have to trust in that, and really today I'm going to preach about a little of this. But God wants to take care of us, but at some point we have to move beyond this idea of constantly looking for God to take care of us and trust that he'll do it. Yeah. That's what real true faith is trusting that God will do what he said he would do. And if you're fretting about it, if you're worried about it, if you're looking and saying, well, it doesn't appear, that's why it's not appearing, is because you're looking for it. Yeah. Amen? You're looking for something that's not your job to look for. It's not our job to look for the provision. It's our job to be the provision, yeah. To supply the provision, to take of what we have and to supply the kingdom of God. Now, what I'm talking about is not just finances. Of course, that's included in it, but I'm not just talking about your finances. I'm just talking about what we provide, what God does on the earth, he does through the hands of men and women of God. Amen? And he does that through faithful. And the faithful he sends out, Jesus said to the ones he sent out, he said, I sent you out with nothing. Yeah. Why did he do that? He was teaching them faith. You don't have to have something to do the work of God. You have to have the will to do the work of God. And once you have the will and you just endeavor to do it, and you just say, well, I'm just gonna start moving in this direction, amen. That's how my wife and I have done it, and that's how it's blessed our lives, because we've done something so great, it's because we enacted a principle that God has placed on the earth to work, amen. Yeah. And so I'm so thankful for this teaching and this balance that, the prosperity message, there is a truth to prosperity. There is prosperity in serving God. There is prosperity in that. But the prosperity message isn't just so we can lavish ourselves. Now, it's not wrong to have nice things. And if you have an abundance, there's nothing wrong with having something more than just what is needed. Amen. God isn't opposed to that. But the thing is how much does it have you? And see, the thing is what people don't realize is that poverty can have people just as much as riches can, and it's the same thing. It's really the same thing. When somebody is so concerned, or they're like, well, they'll hold on to it because they don't think they have, they're not doing what God has called them to do. If I operated in that capacity, I would have never pastored. I would have never been able to do it, because there is at no point that I ever feel qualified to stand in this pulpit. At no point did I ever feel capable of standing in this pulpit. At no point did I ever feel educated enough to stand in this pulpit. In fact, all my fears when I was first becoming a pastor was, I was fearing this and fearing that. What if somebody comes in that knows more than me? What if I get another minister that questions? All these things, these were real fears I had. But see, I didn't do it based on what I had. I did it based on the call. Amen? And so that is with everything in life. If we do it based on what we have, we'll never get to where, we'll never get there. If you're trying to give based on, or if you're trying to, If you're trying to, yeah, if you're trying to be something based on what you have or who you are, it'll never come, it'll never be enough. But God's, the way God's power works is that when we connect to it, and what I mean by connect to it is when we say, yes, Lord, I'll do it, and then we start moving towards it, then God's power meets up with us and carries us through. You know, one night we were in the boat, and there was some kind of, you know, not waves, but it was real choppy, and there was like little swells, and this was just at Chautauqua Lake, so they don't get very big anyways, but there was these swells. But one of the things that I noticed is as we were going, when you're in these swells, you get over the swell, and as you get over the swell, that swell carries you, and all of a sudden it feels like you're going faster, even though you haven't changed the speed on the throttle. And what is that? That's the same. It's the same thing with the power of God. As we get in the swell, as we decide to jump on, praise the Lord, it carries us and pushes us faster. And so God's power meets up with us, but it never precedes us. Praise the Lord. I've never seen it where it precedes us. That means that if you're waiting for it to happen before you'll move, you'll wait until Jesus comes back. You will. Praise the Lord. Because that's not the way God's power works. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, is that scriptural? It's all through the Bible. Everywhere in Bible, God required faith first. Amen. And aren't you glad tonight we're talking about faith? Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight's message is called Simple Faith. Glory to God. That first part was just free, no charge. The Holy Ghost just wanted to bless you with some knowledge. Amen. We're talking about simple faith tonight. And, you know, I've preached a lot of these scriptures. I've preached a lot along these lines many times in this church. But, you know, the Lord has really just brought me back to it. And one of the things I was thinking about as I was, you know, the idea of getting back into it, I was reminded of it's 2 Timothy 1:6, and it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then, of course, we know verse 7 goes on to say, you know, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But what the focus of what Lord brought that scripture up to me for is, therefore I remind you. And so Paul didn't just tell him something once. He told him something over and over and over again. He said, I remind you of what the word says. I remind you of the truth of God. I remind you of what the Lord is saying. Amen. And so we need to be reminded of that. You know, my brother, actually, this message came out of a conversation that my brother Josh and I, not my real brother, but my real brother, glory to God, that we were talking one day and this week, and all of a sudden some things started, and I heard the word simple faith in my spirit as I was talking to him, and the message was born out of that moment. Amen. Aren't you glad? Everybody can thank Josh for how much you're going to get blessed tonight. Praise the Lord. But that message was stirred up, you know, simple faith. And the Lord reminded me of how, you know, in times like these, we need to hear things. And Josh and I were just talking in the back room before service. And he said, he had mentioned, he's like, you know, about how we have to, you know, we have to be reminded of these things. And that's the truth, we do. We have to be reminded of God's truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God wants to help us. He wants to help us in this time going forward. You know, there's a lot of opposition, and sometimes it's just in the form of fear and anxiety and all the things that the world is putting out there. But today's message will bless you. Amen. It'll help you. Glory to God. Amen. Well, as I was putting this together, as I was, you know, seeking God on these things, I heard some things in my spirit that I wrote down, and I actually didn't know if it was for this service or tomorrow's service, but I did sense this afternoon as I was putting the final touches together and seeking the Lord that this was for the service. So I'll share this with you. This is what I heard. God's will is so much bigger than our trials. His plan is greater than our circumstances. As we fall into the trap of the devil and lower our attention on the things of the world, of this world, we miss the greater that God is trying to accomplish in us. To trust God means to let go of what we erroneously think is us and grab onto what is rightly Him. All that we filter through our understanding will cause us to miss the revelation of His reality. Our reality hinders us. His reality gives us victory. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you want me to read that one more time just to kind of go over it again. I know that there's a lot in that. But the message is born out of that. God's will is so much bigger than our trials. His plan is greater than our circumstances. As we fall into the trap of the devil and lower our attention on the things of this world, we miss the greater that God is trying to accomplish in us. To trust God means to let go of what we erroneously think is us and grab onto what is rightly Him. All that we filter through our understanding will cause us to miss the revelation of His reality. And I'll explain that. Our reality hinders us. His reality gives us victory. What I mean by that is, when I said all that we filter through our understanding will cause us to miss the revelation of His reality. His reality is the revelation that we find in the Word. That's the truth. That's what we call the truth. Amen. But when we try to filter the truth through what we understand, we're going to miss what God has to say. When we try to filter or when we try to understand the Word based on what we know, based on our experiences in life, it's not going to make much sense to us. You know, it doesn't make much sense to us when God has called us into these things, some of the things He calls us into, like tithing. It doesn't make sense to us in the natural. And so it's easy to resist it if we filter it that way. Now, this message isn't about tithing, of course. It's just about following the plan of God, but doing whatever God has called us to do. As we filter the Word through our own understanding, so we have to get to the place where we're hearing from God, not filtering the Word. And what's happened is so many denominations, so many churches, what they do is they filter the Word through what they understand. Instead of looking the Word when God says that, you know, I'm the Lord who heals you, instead of looking at it and just receiving that, what people do is they filter it through their own experience, and they say, well, He is the Lord that sometimes heals you. And maybe God didn't mean this all the time. See, you start changing the meaning of it, and then you get something, you get a different gospel, not one that God intended. And so even though a lot of times people's intentions are good, if they're filtering it through their own understanding or their own ideas, it's not going to do us any good. We have to, the Bible says, for us to conform to His will, not to conform His will to our will. Amen? That's what Romans 12:2 teaches us. And so we understand that we can't know the will of God. In that scripture we're told, we can't know the will of God unless we receive it the way that He wants to receive it. But we can't receive that without conforming. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. There has never been a time when standing on the Word is more needed than it is today. Amen? Now turn with me to Romans 14:23. I know you want to get in the Word. You don't want to just hear me saying, praise the Lord, coming up with my own stuff. I'm not coming up with it, I promise, but we're going to balance it with the Word. Amen? Because that's how we do. Praise God. Romans 14:23. Glory to God. I love Romans 14 because it really goes through and it kind of clears up a lot of stuff for us, you know, and people say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, Romans 14 kind of clears a lot of that up. Amen. But Romans 14:23 says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. The focus I want to stay on is the last part of this verse. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Amen. Whatever is not from faith is sin. The ability to have faith is as inherent as breathing. You were designed for this purpose. God designed you to be people of faith. All of us, every person on the earth. In fact, we understand faith. Even in the world, we can understand faith. It's not hard to understand the concept of faith. What's hard for people is to give themselves over to the concept of what God is talking about. Amen. But I love this. You know, Brother Hagin said, faith begins where the will of God is known. You know, I love to quote the Word more than I do ministers, but this just happens to be something that is very scriptural. Again, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And of course, this is exactly what Brother Hagin was talking about. You must know what the will of God is before you can have faith in it. And the only way to do that is to be transformed not conformed to the world, but transformed into something different. The only way to understand God's will is to transform our thinking into what His will is. If we don't transform our thinking, again, and when we try to filter the word through our own understanding, when we try to understand, do you know what I mean by that? We try to just understand it based on who we are, like, and that's why we can get so confused and so off, because if we just understand the word that way, it's not a good understanding of it. We have to understand what the author was talking about. You know, one of the things that's interesting about the Constitution and constitutional law that they do is that when they interpret the Constitution, what they always try to do is they try to go back and understand what the forefathers meant when they wrote it and signed it. Amen? Now, you can take any document and you can change it over time just simply by talking about it differently. Amen? And so, when they try to say if something constitutional or not constitutional, they go back and they say, why did the forefathers write this? Why did they write it this way? And what was the understanding? Because that is the protection that we have. That's the same thing with the word. If you alter the word to be something different than what it was intended for, you can do that and you can convince people of that. That doesn't make it right. And so as the people of God, we have to get back to this idea of simple faith. What is simple faith? What is it to be simply in faith? Simple faith is this. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to lay it out. We can go home after this. Praise the Lord. Simple faith is simply just trusting God. Believing what He said. That's all that it is. Regardless of what the circumstances is, regardless of what it looks like, you just trust God. You know, when you trust somebody fully, it doesn't matter what they say to you. It's just, it's good. You believe it. Amen? And that's the same thing we have to do with God. We have to look at the word and look at it simply like, you know, we can get into the Greek and the Hebrew and a bunch of different things and get deeper understanding of the word. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the simple part of our faith is it's real basic. It doesn't require you to get Greek. It doesn't require you to get Hebrew. It requires you to just believe God, to just trust Him, that the word that He's delivered to us is enough for us to carry us through. It's that swell that will carry us into all things that He has. And so when the word instructs us on something, especially when it does it over and over and over again, it's easy for us to just say, that's the truth. That's the word. I'm not going to try to filter it through my understanding. I'm not going to try to make it something different. I'm going to receive it for what it is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So Brother Hagin said, faith begins where the will of God is known. It is so imperative that we understand this concept, that we cannot have faith in God, the God kind of faith, if we don't know what His will is. And so when we look at Romans 12:2, which says, and don't turn there yet, or don't turn there, because I just want to bring it up here. But when it says that you may prove, you have to be transformed, that you may. That's for a purpose. You must be transformed for a purpose. That you will prove, or that you will test out, that you will see what the perfect will of God is, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now it's interesting because it says good, acceptable, and perfect will. Did you know that there is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? It's different. Acceptable will of God is different than the perfect will of God. You know, a lot of Christians... there's a lot of Christians that just live in the acceptable will of God, meaning that he lets them in because he wants them saved, but they're not doing anything. They're not doing the perfect will of God. Then there's the good part of it. There's a, you know, these are good things to do, but they're not perfect things to do. You know, there are rights that you can have as a Christian, as an American. There's rights that we can have, but sometimes it's good to give up those rights. You know, I love my son. I'll use him as an example, Mark here. You know, he works this job, and Mark's a good worker when he works for an employer. He, you know, I believe he gives it his all. But when he's working this job, and he does, security systems and all those different kinds of things, and alarm systems and stuff, cameras, excuse me. And so he does these things, but he did a job yesterday when he was on, when he was working, he did this job, and something went wrong with it. But this morning when he got up, you know, he came out and he was talking to us for a few minutes. He said, I'm going to go out. I got to go out and try to fix that thing that he did. And wasn't trying to get, I'm not on overtime or anything like that. But that's a perfect example of somebody who has the right heart about something, amen? Is that when, you want to go fix, maybe it was a mistake that you made. Listen, in any job, we'll all make mistakes. As a pastor, I make them daily probably. But when you go back, you say, okay, I'm going to go, and not necessarily, you know, it's right to expect when you go to your job to receive compensation. But there's something more to it when you're like, you know what? I'm going to do this because I want to make sure that I'm right. I want to make sure that what I've done is right. That's called integrity, amen? And so you don't necessarily need to get paid for everything, or you don't have to be compensated for every single little thing that you do, because you want to have the right integrity. And that's like the perfect will. It's good to expect to get paid, but the perfect will, what's perfect is when somebody will do something to be right, regardless of whether they get paid, regardless of whether there's compensation. And see, that's the way that Christians need to start looking at things. If we would look at the world more as the idea of being perfect instead of being just right, because you can be technically right. How many know this? You can be technically right and still be stubborn. You can be technically right and walk out of love. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't know about that, you should try pastoring sometimes. Because one of the things that comes as a pastor, technically there's things that you should expect and things that you should receive. But there's I would say probably at least 3/4 of the people that you'll pastor won't ever do that. They won't ever connect to you that way. And what I mean, like, sometimes it's just honor and respect. Sometimes they look down on you. Sometimes it's just things like that. But see, the thing is, it would be right for me to say, technically right for me to say, you're out of line. But see, sometimes the perfect way is to walk in love and say, you know, that God forgive them. They don't know what they do. Yeah. You know, and that's exactly the way that Jesus lived. You know, rightfully, he could have called angels down to take him off of that cross. Yeah. He didn't have to pay the price. But see, he didn't just do what was right. He did what was perfect. Yeah. And so that's what we're talking about here, is we want to live simply, the simple faith. The simple faith is to be like God. But it'll never happen. We'll never be able to be in simple faith. We'll never know where the will of God is if we don't trust him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We'll never have faith without the will, and we'll never have will without faith. Glory to God. It's just the truth. And so if we really are in this for the right reason, we have to get back to that place of living simply, amen? And what I mean by living simply, it doesn't mean that you can't have anything or that you have to forsake, everything in life. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have to have an understanding about the things of God that are different. And the first and foremost place that we learn that is by trusting in God. We have to get ourselves to the place where we trust God. One of the number one problems I've seen as a pastor for now 6 years, I haven't been here for 6 years, but I've been pastoring for 6 years. 3 of those years I've been pastoring 2 churches, glory to God. And one of the things that I've learned over and over and over again is people struggle primarily with trusting God. Most people's struggles, most of your trials, most of the things that people bring to you, it comes down to not trusting God. Now listen, you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, so we're not going to get there, but that's where most of it lies. We have to get to the place where we just trust God. Do you know, as a pastor of 6 years, that the Lord, what he's been dealing with me personally in my own life on, not for you, but for me, what he's been dealing with me on? Trusting him. Trusting him. Do we really trust God? When everything looks bad, do we trust God? How do you react? How do you act when everything is not going your way? How you react determines or will let you know whether or not you trust God. Praise the Lord. See, God's will, God wants us blessed, but we have to trust that. God wants to take care of us, but we have to trust that. Mark, Matthew 6, praise the Lord, Matthew 6 tells us, Jesus said in there, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, worry about its own things. He said, don't worry about what you wear, what you eat. Just don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about those things in life. He says, that's stuff that the world worries about, but you're not to do those things. Yeah. That should be good enough for us. Yeah. Trusting God, it comes down to Matthew 6, very simply, that you trust God no matter what. Yeah. No matter what it looks like. Yeah. Or otherwise, why are we doing this? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't learn the simple faith, which is trusting God, if you don't learn that one simple principle, You will go through your life and you will never be in the perfect will of God. Because you can't be in the perfect will of God if you don't trust Him. Because the perfect will of God is going to have you do things at times that don't make sense. The perfect will of God will have you do things at times that you can't accomplish. It will have you do things, it will have you set on courses that you can't finish. But God isn't asking you to do that, He's asking you to go. And so we have to understand that until we learn to trust God in the simple things, we can never grow into bigger things. We can never grow into all that God has for us. Trust God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I remember, you know, as I was a kid, I used to love the show G.I. Joe. I don't know if any of you remember it. But at the end of G.I. Joe, they would always have some kind of lesson. Some kid would do something. Maybe he'd fall off his bike or somebody would throw him off his bike or something. And then, you know, who was it? Duke would show up and it wasn't G.I. Joe because G.I. Joe wasn't any specific guy, but it was Duke. He would show up and he would teach the kid something. And the kid would thank him for whatever lesson he learned. And Duke would say at the end of that, he'd say, "And now you know." And knowing is half the battle, praise the Lord. So now you know, knowing is half the battle, glory to God. Half the battle is to just know the truth, and the truth is you need to trust God. Yeah. Folks, one of the things that I love about the Lord is how He leads me. I love how God leads me, but I'm going to give you a little peek into that. Every so often, things will start getting complicated. Things will start getting out of hand. Things will start being chaos. I mean, in the world, in the church, wherever, it doesn't matter. Just around me, all of a sudden, I'll start seeing this stuff. And you know how God always eventually gets to me? He gets to me back and get me into simple faith. Trust me. Trust me. Not me, but Him. Amen? He always brings me back to simple. It's simple. He always, I know I'm hammering on this, but this is something we have to understand. In all things that we deal with in life, we have to get back to that place where we just trust Him. In other words, what trust is I don't care what it looks like. I'm just going to go with Him because I know it's good with Him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I know it's always good with God. If you don't know that very basic thing, you never qualify for more. Right. I'm saying you'll never qualify for more. There's so many Christians who are out there praying for things. They're asking God left and right. They're like, "God, do this for me. God, do this for me. Heal me. Help me with this bill. Help me help my children. Do this, do that." They're doing all this, praying all these things. How many times have you heard about Christians praying and not receiving the answer? And the reason they don't receive the answer is because they've never learned the basic, most basic principle of the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, which is trust Him. Trust God. If you can't trust God, you do not qualify to have any prayers answered. Why? Because that's the requirement for God to move in your behalf. The requirement, if you look at Mark 11:23, it will tell you the requirement is to trust God. The way to have, you know, we look at the scripture and we say, "Oh, great. I love it when he says you will have whatever you say." We love those types of scriptures. We get excited about it. We start saying a whole lot when we come out of a service when we read a scripture like that. But there's a part to that scripture that we forget. In fact, somebody recently said, and I love this, they said, "We teach about how it says you have to say three times, it says there in Mark 11:23, to say three times, glory to God." You know, it says it three different times. It doesn't say to say it three times. It says it three different times. But it magnifies the saying. And the Lord told Brother Hagin way back in the 50s or 60s, He taught him, you're going to have to teach people to say three times more than the believing. Because that's what it says. But we've gotten out of balance now on the other side because we keep saying stuff. We keep declaring things. But we left the believing in the background. What is the believing? Trusting God. What is the trust? It's the Lord, I know that you hear me. If we know that He hears us, what is that? It's in 1 John. If we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions of our heart. Yes. Glory to God. The Bible says we know these things, but Christians don't know these things. You talk to most Christians and they're like, "Are you going to," if I went and I said, "What have you been believing or what have you been praying for?" And you say this, this, or this. And I ask you the question, do you know that you're going to get it? You know, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people, they say, "Well, I prayed for it for a month and it hasn't happened, so it must not. I prayed for it for a year and it hasn't happened, so it must not." That means you don't trust God anymore. Because if you really believed the word and you were in His will, then you would know that you have it. It doesn't mean that you have it instantly. There's nothing in the Bible that says you pray and it'll instantly appear before you. Never says that. There are times when it happens, but I'll tell you this, more times than not, it won't. Because what God requires is faithfulness. Amen? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Basically, half the battle is knowing whether or not you are in the will of God. And that really isn't hard, but it can take time. You know, a lot of Christians, they come in and they just want answers for their life, but they never question one of the most important questions: am I in God's will? Am I doing what He wants me to do? Am I in the place where He's called me to be? Sometimes a lot of people's idea of being in God's will is, yeah, I went to this church, they started preaching things that I'm dealing with in life, and so that's my answer. This is where I'm called to be. But they don't realize that there's more of a will than just sitting in church and hearing the things that you need to hear to get you through the week. Yeah. That there's part of a body that you're supposed to be connected to. That there are things that you're not supposed to forsake. You can't forsake the things of God and then expect God to come through for you, because it's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. It doesn't happen that way. God isn't going through and answering all the prayers of the heathen. He's not doing that. He answers the prayers of the faithful. He answers the prayers of the ones who trust in Him. He's answering the prayers of the ones who trust Him fully, to the point where they ask Him, they say, Lord, I know that I don't see it, but I still trust You with my life. Instead of what happens with most people, when they don't get the answers to prayer, they immediately start attacking God, or they start attacking the church, or they start attacking faith, or they start attacking this. They say, it doesn't work anyways. It doesn't work anyways. It doesn't work anyways. This is a trap of the devil. This is exactly where the devil wants you to be. Why? Because that's called lack of faith. That's called the destruction of simple faith in your life. Yeah. Is when you revert instantly. Now listen, we'll all have moments. I have moments as a pastor. I'll be going along, doing everything fine. All of a sudden, one thing will happen. It'll hit me on a bad day, and I'll just be like ready to give the whole thing up. Yeah. But you know, I don't stay there. Right. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Because we have a couple churches that depend on me doing what's right in order to keep going, amen? And so, but the same thing in your life is that just as I'm important to the body of Christ, you're just as important. Yeah. There's a part that you bring, and when you connect to the will of God and the perfect will of God, but see, conforming to the world is doing what, it's not that you listen to the world and do what they say, it's that you do the things that the world does. Yeah. The world doesn't come to church. The world doesn't connect to church. The world doesn't come in and say, okay, I'm part of this. The world doesn't do that. That's why the world is in chaos. Yeah. Why do we see the things we see happening out there? Because the church has been shut down for 3 months. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah. Why is everything going nuts? Because the word of God has not been being preached. Yeah. Why do we preach the word? Even at the times I have preached the word when there is my family here and maybe one or two others from Mayville and nobody else. Why have I spent time? I always say this, the Sunday or the Saturday after I signed the papers to buy this building, we had nobody from Corey in a church service. Do you know what that does to the head of a person? Do you know what that makes you want? It makes you like, why am I getting into this now? This last year, when it had been 3 years and it didn't seem like a whole lot of change, and we were going to make that last big payment. And what I mean by that last big payment, we were paying the church off that formerly owned the building, but we were still keeping the mortgage. And our mortgage was about to go up significantly by hundreds of dollars a month. It was going up. And they're still the same, you know, the same group of people. And why am I doing this? Because God told me to. I have faith in what He said. Well, what is it? And what do? We keep going and we keep going. But I'm telling you, when it was time to make that payment, I'm thinking, well, if I bail now, we'll at least be $70,000 less in the hole. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, because that last payment was 70 grand. So imagine what that adds. I don't know how much your house costs, but whatever your house costs, compare it to 70 grand and figure out what that is. That's what it added on top of what we're already paying. Praise the Lord. Why would you do something like that? That's exactly what I was saying. Praise the Lord. Why would you do something like that? Because God told me to. See, there's times where we'll come preach the word and there'll be nothing, but we'll preach the word. When we first came down here, we didn't have a guarantee of anybody. Why did we come down here to preach the word? Because we were coming down to establish things. And that's exactly what's happening or not happening in this country. Yeah. The things haven't been established. Some churches close their doors completely. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what is that? Pastor, you say all the time, not all church is good. That's true. And if the church closes doors completely, it's probably not good. I'm just telling you the truth. Because if they don't think that there's a need for them to reach their people, there's something wrong in their head. They ain't got the knowledge of the truth. But here's the thing, it's a representation of something, and the representation means everything. Where the heck is the time going? Glory to God. But there's a lot of utterance today. There's a lot of things that the Lord wants to deliver. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to bring a scripture up, Romans 1:16, because I haven't even got to the meat yet. I haven't even got through the introduction. Romans 1:16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." This word is the power of God to salvation. Notice that this is the power of God to salvation. What does that mean? Let's pause on this. I'm just telling you right now, we're not getting all the way through it tonight. This is the power of God to salvation. This is the thing. Salvation is, if you think that salvation is just getting your butt in heaven, you're sorely mistaken. That's not what salvation is. The salvation of God is the preservation of his people. It's the guarantee. It is the reason you can have trust in God. Salvation means that God will always come through for you. He will always be there for you. He has never left you nor forsaken you. He will always pay your way. He will always get you through. You always have victory. You always go to the other side. That's what salvation is. But notice that there's a way to get to salvation, and that's the word of God. That means the truth of the word. Praise the Lord. That is what the power of God is. You're looking for the power of God in your life. It's the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Praise the Lord. What does it come by hearing? The word of God. If we're not hearing the word, if we're not getting the word in us, if we're not having this, our faith cannot be built. And so if we're separate from that, praise the Lord, we'll never get to where we're going. And I'm just going to tell you something. You'll have times, periods of times, where you feel like everything is pretty good. The devil's laid off you for a while. You've been faithful in church, and you've been faithful to read and maybe even to pray, and things are going right in your life. And you'll think, man, you'll start feeling like I kind of arrived. Yeah. And maybe if you've been sitting here for any length of time, you've had several of these times, only to be followed by a time where it's like, dear Jesus, did God leave me? Because I'm pretty sure he did. What did I do wrong? Right? We all go through those times. See, faith says that faith is not those times where you were dealing with that, you hadn't arrived. And the next time you feel it, I'm just going to help you out. You just so you know, you haven't arrived then either. Glory to God. There's more for you. There's more for you to learn, more places for you to go. But as you follow God, as you learn to be faithful to God, each step you take will get you to a better place of glory, a higher level of glory, a better place in the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. I remember when I first came into Family Church, you know, I was about as squirrely. I was squirrelier than a squirrel. Yeah. Man, I made squirrels look peaceful. Glory to God. I was all over the place. I was up and down, left and right, back and forth. I was just all over the place. And there'd be times where I'd be really high and times where I'd be really low, times where I wanted to call it quits. And all kinds of things. I remember one time, calling my pastor and saying, you got to help me because I'm about to lose it. It's all done. I don't know where to go from here. Amen. And I look back at those times now and I kind of chuckle because they were never as bad as I thought they were. And I'm just going to tell you, no matter what's going on, this whole virus, the riots and stuff, it's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as bad as the media portrays. It's never as bad as what it seems. Why? Because we have God. For the world, it is. Now, if you're part of the world, then yeah, you know, you have. If you can't have simple faith, then yeah, you're in trouble. That folks, this is why we got to get back to the simple things of God. This is why we got to learn the simple things of faith. We have to understand that simple faith, trusting God, is paramount in our lives. If we don't have that, we're in as much trouble as the rest of the world is. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, is we're supposed to be delivering this gospel to the world. You know, like what I was saying there in the beginning about like Malachi, we're the ones who provide for the house of God. That includes this area as well. How do we provide? How do we provide filling these seats? Yeah. This isn't just God's job. This isn't my job. This is your job. Yeah. It's your job to fill these seats. It's your job. And how do you do that? By how you live your life. Yeah. Do you live your life in a place of faith? Do you live it in simple faith where you trust God? Do you wake up in the morning? You see a lot of people wake up in the morning, they don't even think about the kingdom of God. Listen, if you never think about what you can add to the kingdom of God, you're not a child of God. Because a child does as the father does. And a child of God is worried or is concerned about the kingdom. Not worried, but concerned about the kingdom. Their concern is the kingdom. In other words, Paul said the concern besides this, the concerns of the churches, which comes on me daily. What does that mean? Was he worried about the churches? No, but there's things that you have to deal with in life to ensure that a church continues to go, that a local, a local body continues to flow. We need to be concerned about each other in the sense that your life, realizing that your life and my life are connected, and therefore if something affects your life, it does affect my life, even if you don't see it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We have to understand these are simple. These are the basic principles of the Word, and yet churches become such a churches in modern America have really become a big self-help service.
Yeah.
That's what they are. How do I help me? How do I get my life better? How do I fix me? Well, that's okay when you come in, but Christians are never progressing out of that. It's continually self-help. The Christians that have been Christians for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years, it's still self-help. It's just about, they just come to church, this is what I need. It's not about what you need. It's about the kingdom of God, and if you can't understand that, you're missing the most basic principles of the Word of God. God did not save you just so you could get into heaven and get there rich and you could get there full and everything else. He saved you because he wants to multiply his kingdom. And so what he intends for you to do is to multiply his kingdom. And if you are not doing anything to multiply his kingdom, then I have to question whether you're in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Our job, our goal of our lives should be the will of God. Plain and simple. That's all there is to it. If there is anything else that precedes the will of God in our life, then you can understand right now why you don't have your prayers answered. Because there's things that precede the will of God in your life. Nothing can precede God's will in your life. Nothing can precede the plan of God in your life. And if it does, you will always have what you've always got. Your life will not change. It'll be the same. And I'll tell you that the Bible does warn that there will be people that will stand before Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
You got to know that you know God. And I'm just telling you this right now, Christian, if you're a Christian who is not consumed with the plan of God, you are not consumed with the desires of the Lord, that you don't think about it daily.
Yeah.
If you're not a Christian, you're in danger of those scriptures. You're in danger of losing. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be like, I got to be down to the church every minute, or I got to go down to church right after work, or I have to go preaching, or I have to study for. Listen, we can get into works about it too, and it's wrong. But my what I'm talking about is the heart. Where is your heart on the thing? And where the problem is in America, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, a lot of people are looking for the end day revival being some great and mighty outpouring. I would just like to see people be faithful. Because there's a portion of the church that is faithful.
Yeah.
Glory to God. There's a portion of the church that cares about what's going on in the church. It's because this church, this local church, this is not all God is concerned about. But this is a representation of what he is concerned about.
Yeah.
What is this church a representation of? This church is a representation of what the Lord wants to do in Corey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
This is a representation of what Lord wants to do in your life. And so what God does is he sets up, he'll take faithful people, set them up in a place, and he'll say, preach the word. Because when the gospel is preached, lives change to those who grab onto the gospel and run with it. But those who don't grab onto the gospel and run with it, the life hasn't changed. See, what happens is the trap of the devil, and that's what I was talking about in that kind of that spiel I gave you there. The trap of the devil is to get people focused down here. And so how does he do that? He sends a plague. He sends opposition to your job. He sends opposition in your family. He sends opposition to your friends. He sends opposition in anywhere. Think about what trips you up. Think about the things that bother you in life. The things where you start questioning. The things that get you to start questioning, is any of this even true? We all have those things, every one of us. Because the devil gives them to every one of us. You are not unique because you have those things. You are not bad because you have those thoughts. You are not bad because those things come into your life and try to rob that, because that's the plan of the devil. But where you miss it, or where we miss it as humans, is when we see those things happening and we revert to, oh my gosh. And then we start focusing on those things. And so now, and that's where our focus is. Hey, have you wondered why the news repeats the same things over and over and over. Have you wondered why politicians will hammer the same lie over and over and over? And what happens? Those politicians don't even believe it themselves. Have you ever noticed that a lot of these politicians, some of them have been in office, they talk about change. The ones who have been in office for 30, 40, 50 years. Politicians, every single one of them, right, left, it doesn't matter. Every single one of them have become rich off of what they're doing. And yet the Christians sit there and they listen to them and they're like, this has got to be truth. Because they hear it over and over and over again. Why do you think the devil does that? Because whatever he can get you distracted on, whatever he can get you looking at. Why do you think this pandemic, the riots, it gets us off of the major thing that we're supposed to do. All this stuff gets us, well, everybody's, all these people are pointing at the riots going, look at the rioters, look how horrible this is. And I know I've been caught up in this too. Look how horrible, yeah, it's horrible. But guess what? The Bible doesn't tell us to focus on that stuff. It says to focus on him. So when the devil sends that stuff and all God's people jump on it and they're just looking at it, meanwhile, the devil's running around doing all kinds of crazy stuff behind them. And then people are wondering why their lives aren't changing. Because your focus is wrong. Your focus on the things of this earth, your focus on, listen, a true Christian would be like this. Job or no job, I don't even care. Because God takes care of me. Because you understand this. One thing, I used to work in this factory. And the factory was a union factory, and there was certain protections that we had based on that, and certain things we were guaranteed because we were in a union. And it was a factory that was considered one of the best paying factories in the area, one of the best jobs in the area. I hated the job, and I made it very clear that I hated the job to everybody around me. I wasn't so sanctified back then, but I made it very clear that I hated the job. Guys, how long did I work at that job? 13 and a half years. And how many days of it did I like? Praise the Lord. See, I didn't even have to dig too deep. They've all heard it. Praise the Lord. But the people that I worked with, they would hear it too. But the thing that they couldn't imagine is they couldn't imagine anything other than that job. And see, I wasn't coming at a place of faith, but they certainly weren't. And the place that they were coming from is they thought because they had this good job and because that they had certain guarantees in life. And so people would go out and they would work overtime and they would buy cars and they would buy boats and they would buy houses and they would buy vacation properties and they would do all these things, right? They would amass all this debt and they would do all these things because in their mind they had this false sense of security. And they would always used to say to me, they said, well, how are you gonna make it out there in the world if you leave here? As if that business was the only business in the world I could work at. Do you know something? Whatever you're doing for work right now, it's not the only gig out there. It's not the only way that God can provide for you. But if you look at that as your provision, if that for you is all the provision that you're ever going to see, and all your eggs are in that basket, so to speak, praise the Lord, you're going to lose it. I'm just telling you the truth. It won't stay. Why? Because the devil will use that as a way to remove that crutch from you. Because that's exactly what he does. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And God doesn't want you to have any crutch other than him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to turn to another scripture because we need to turn somewhere before I close. This is the essence of faith. Psalm 118. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm 118. Praise Jesus. Psalm 118, verse 7. Psalm 118, verse 7 says, "The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire of those who hate me." I like that. I shall see my desire. This is the essence of faith. These scriptures I'm reading, these are the essence of what faith is. That, you know, what he's saying essentially is David is saying that he is in this place where people are attacking him, that his enemies are coming after him. And it looks so bad that it looks like he's going to lose. But he says, with all those people that are with me, the Lord is with me. And because the Lord is with me, I will see my desire on those who hate me. In other words, those who are attacking me, even though it looks like I'm going to lose. So in other words, we can say it like this. He's in a bad place. He's in a hopeless place as far as the world goes. But the essence of faith says, yes, this is what's going on around me, but the Lord is for me. And because the Lord is for me, my desires are going to come to pass.
Yeah.
What's your desire? To get out of your trouble. What's your desire? But see, when you're focused on your trouble, this is what I love. You know, recently, I think I shared this here, maybe not, maybe in Mayville. But recently, I was woke up. It was a couple weeks ago. I was troubled. And I decided to get into prayer. It was in the middle of the night. And I decided to get into prayer. And as I was praying, I heard the words of my spirit, what would David do? What did David do? Not what would, but what did David do? Amen. And I started meditating on that. See, when the Lord delivers something to you, then he'll give you the answer. If he poses a question, it's to give you an answer. It wasn't so I would constantly spend the rest of my life, well, I guess I got to go seek what David would do. No, God wants to give me the answer. Amen. And he wants to give you the answer too. So I said, okay, so what did David do? And so I started meditating on that. And instantly the Lord led me to the Psalms. David wrote most of the Psalms, right? King David wrote most of the Psalms. What do we know about the Psalms? The majority of them are David exalting the Lord. He may talk about the trouble, but you always see him bring it back around to exalting the Lord. How does David get out of every trial? He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us. How does he get out of every trial? He exalts the Lord. Simple faith. Simple faith, that's what it is. I trust God. He said, no matter what's going on, Saul was chasing him, was trying to kill him, pretty bad. Anybody been trying to kill you lately? Nobody been hunting you down, especially not somebody you serve, but they were hunting him down, trying to kill him. And he exalted the Lord, exalted the Lord, exalted the Lord. Simple faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Amen. Princes represent, of course, world leaders and stuff like that. What is it to put confidence in man? Does that mean just trust some man somewhere? Not just that, but man's ways of doing things. Amen. They trust the world. Do you trust the world system? How do you know if you trust the world system? Are you bothered by what happens in the world? Does what happens in the world move you? Does it move, and what I mean, does it move you out of faith? Does it move you from your place of believing God? If you go from a place of believing God to a place of not believing God because of something that happens, that's where your trust was. It was never in God. You know it's in God when something bad happens and you're still like, no, God's still good. I will see the desires on my enemies because I trust God. That's what faith in God is. So if we're not at that place, which many of us are not, and at times all of us are not, but if we're not at that place, what we need to do is we need to work on ourselves and constantly bring ourselves back to that place of trust. Yeah. Glory to God. We have to constantly bring ourselves back to that place where, God, I believe your word, no matter what, it's going crazy. It's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
The whole world.
Yeah.
But I trust my God.
Yeah.
That it'll still be good for me.
Right.
It will still work out for me because I trust my God. Amen. It is better to trust in the Lord. Glory to God.
Yeah.
It is believing God's truths in all, through all, but most importantly, above all. We have to believe God above everything we see. We have to trust God above everything we see. And if we don't trust God above everything we see, then we simply don't qualify to receive what we're desiring. We don't qualify. You know, some people, they hate that I would say even that we don't qualify to receive from God. But there is a truth to that. You know, without Jesus, none of us even had the capability of qualifying. What does Jesus do? He qualifies us. He makes us righteous. Our righteousness is in Jesus. What is that? That is your qualification to receive from God. So if your trust is not in Jesus, if you relax your trust or your faith in Jesus, then all that he will be that, then all of a sudden, guess what? You are unqualified again. You step back out of your qualification. You step out of that salvation. It doesn't mean that you'll go to hell, but you step out of that promise that God has given you because you relax your qualification. You said, well, listen, our qualification isn't hard. The only thing he said, I think it's in the book of Numbers, he says, sit back, you will only watch. The Lord will fight for you. He said, the Lord will fight for you. You are not meant to battle everything. You are not mad. The Bible says in James 4:8 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. What is that? Trust in God. When you draw near to God, you're saying, you know what? That's what David did. Every psalm that you see God, David lifting up the Lord and exalting the Lord, what is he doing? He's drawing near to God. By your exaltation of the Lord in trial, in the midst of opposition, when you say, God, I trust you in this situation, even though it doesn't look good, I know that it will work out for me, because Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good to those who love you, and I know that I love you, and I know that I'm in this flow, so I trust you, I will follow you, I will keep going, because I know that I can, I know that we will, I know we always do. Praise the Lord. That's trust in God. You have to speak to the trial you are dealing with. You have to speak to your situation. You have to say something about it. You have to say, you know what? I can see that it's bad. I don't need to be told that it's bad. Listen, when they shut down the whole world, it doesn't matter if it's righteous or not. When they shut down the world, it's not great. It's bad, but that doesn't change God. He didn't suddenly fall off the throne. We have to still trust him. When everything looks like, when you can't pay your bills, when you can't do anything, there's plenty of these kinds of times in life, but how does any of that change God? Does it change God in your mind? If it doesn't, you've never trusted him. You have to trust God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm not even going to get to where I wanted to go. Praise God. Proverbs 3:5, I just want to share this with you in closing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What do you understand naturally? That's what it's talking about. When you, what you see is what you understand. Lord, I don't know the answers to my life. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know how I'm going to get over this hump that's before me, this mountain that's before me. I don't know, Lord. But I trust you. I don't trust my understanding. You don't need to understand it. You don't need, listen, you don't need to know how when you've got a guide. Well, I want to share this, like this last thing, you know, I've said it before probably in this church too, but I went on a bear hunt up in Canada, a place I'd never been before. I didn't know anywhere, nothing up there. I didn't know if there was bears in the woods, and as it turned out, they didn't know either. But, you know, I didn't know where the bears were. I didn't know where to go. I didn't even know how to go looking for them. But you know, I had a guide. And that guide, John, he was a good guy. John knew right where the bears were supposed to be. He knew right where the tree stand was. He knew right where I had to go. Praise the Lord. He knew right what I had to do. I'd never hunted before in my life. He told me exactly what I had to do. Praise the Lord. That's what a guide does. A guide leads you into things you don't know. I trusted John. And many of us trust people. If you go on a tour guide, have you ever been on a tour anywhere? If you don't, go on one just so you understand what I'm talking about. But if you've been on a tour, you don't know what's going on. I went on a tour of Graceland. Elvis's home down there in Memphis, Tennessee. I knew a lot about Elvis, but I didn't know anything about his home. You know, I didn't know if the living room was the bedroom. The bedroom was, I don't know. The jungle room, I didn't know which room was the jungle. You know what I mean? I don't know any of this stuff. But I trusted the tour. I trusted the ones who were taking me. It's so easy to do. The concept, we have it, we do it. God give it to us for entertainment. Tours are an actual thing. Hollywood tours, cemetery tours, tours of mansions, tours of houses. Tours, I mean, I've even been on tours where there was houses. There ain't nothing there now. And we've been on tours of that kind of stuff, right? But you trust that there was things, you trust the guide. Well, the Lord is our tour guide of life. He will take us through life, but we got to trust him. Lean not on your own understanding. You might not know everything you don't need to know. You got a tour guide. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Praise the Lord. He's going to take you. You know, some people get mad I said that, but he's going to take you on a tour of life. He's going to show you how to live, the best way to live. But you got to trust him. So, folks, in closing, let's bring it all back to trusting God. We trust him. We trust him for everything in life. We're going to trust him going forward. We're going to trust him to keep us sane, to keep us safe, yeah, to keep us directed. We're going to trust him in the land of famine to feed us. Amen? We're going to trust him for toilet paper when there's no toilet paper. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We'll trust him for all things. Amen?